and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. A lot of news going on, as always, and I wanted to start off with first is keep the families in your prayers over in California right now. That school shooting that happened yesterday. Another event that was very sad to see, and feel horrible again for the families. And, you know, all these hardcore Democrats have come out now and basically been saying that this is horrific, that our children have to be exposed to this, and that they are fear of going to school and so forth. And they're 100% right on that context of it, as far as it's horrific that the children of this country are scared to go to school because they're afraid they're going to get shot. It's horrific that we see these things happen repeatedly. And what's also equally as horrific is that the left are doing everything they can to make sure these shootings continue to happen. And what do I mean by that? I mean that they continually push the narrative that more gun control, more gun disarmament, more restrictions, more viewing and making sure they monitor everybody in this country that owns a firearm and can strip their ability via red flag gun laws is what we actually need in this country. But the sad part about it is we've seen over and over and over again, even down here in Florida, that they refuse to allow retired law enforcement and military teachers to be able to carry a firearm in school, even after their training. We saw down here in Florida that we were blatantly lied to after the Parkland shooting when they pushed a bill through within a matter of weeks after that shooting and said, this bill is about arming teachers. This bill is about protecting lives. This bill is about making sure teachers have the ability to protect their students. And then after it passed, we later found out that it was option A, B, and C per county got to choose what they wanted to do. Option A being arming students, or arming teachers, excuse me. Option B essentially bringing more law enforcement officers. And option C bringing in rent-a-cops that essentially are licensed to carry a firearm but are told not to engage a suspect. And in almost every single county in the state of Florida opted for option C. The cheap option, the option that really does almost nothing, and the option that pretty much prevents the teachers, the first responders that are at the scene all the time in every classroom, from being able to have the ability to protect themselves and their children. Now we see that Ms. Gifford out of California is ranting and raving about how we need to bring in more universal federal background checks, which is ironic to me because this 16-year-old kid bought this gun or got it somehow, they don't even know, obviously illegally, because it's illegal for a 16-year-old to purchase and possess a handgun in California. And last time I checked, it's also illegal to go into a school with a handgun unless you're licensed. And it's also extremely illegal to shoot other people. All these things are illegal, and yet that is something they don't want to talk about. They were pushing the other day, I saw a post of an individual, they were basically protesting about how geese, when you go geese or bird hunting, you're limited to 3 rounds in your shotgun, and how geese have more protection than our students do in the school system. And I chuckled from it from a most ironic standpoint, as I thought, last time I checked, it's extremely illegal to hunt children. It's legal to hunt geese, and there are minor restrictions on what you can do with the firearms, but it's always, under every circumstance, illegal to hunt people. This is the irony that we're seeing in this country now, is they're refusing to look at the actual reasoning, refusing to look at the actual solution, and only coming in and using this to push their disarmament protocol. So that's my stance on that. Prayer for the families is what's absolutely needed right now, but also reform to these unbelievably ridiculous laws that they continue to pass to prevent students from being able to be protected by their teachers, and also preventing law-abiding citizens from owning and possessing firearms per our Second Amendment. That's my stance on that, Dad, and that's what everybody needs to start asking these questions. Why are they not doing what they need to do to protect the students instead of coming up with these bogus laws and bogus answers that do nothing but prevent law-abiding citizens from having the means to protect themselves and their friends and loved ones around them?
You know, Austin, it's like a broken record. It never ends. It's the same thing. The lone nut school shooter goes out and kills a bunch of people. Sometimes they kill themselves. Sometimes they don't. almost always when you look back to their background, they have like a parents or some involved in some military background, and you're thinking, what the heck are these kids being used for some military experimentation or whatever? Who knows? I mean, it never ends. You know, you saw that with the out there in Colorado with the Aurora shooting, sitting out there basically, you know, by the car, drooling on himself. No way he just shot people. I mean, didn't know where he was. I mean, we knew a full team went into that doggone movie theater, did what they did in a no gun area. Again, no guns were allowed. And see, this is the problem. I have a problem with no gun areas, especially in the state of Florida where you're allowed to have a concealed weapons permit. Here's why. If you have a person who tells you that you can't bring a gun into their place of business, they're telling you that you have to be defenseless in their place of business. They're telling you that you can't defend you or your family or your children in the event that a person comes in and decides to start shooting. In Chicago now, they're having gangs of children and adults and everybody else, everybody I guess who wants to, basically go into a shopping mall and just swarm through the mall and just take stuff. And you know, and how do you know they're not going to get you in a corner? How do you know they're not going to be armed? How do you know you will not have the ability to defend yourself? And I'm not advocating shooting people that are unarmed. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I am saying is, but if they assault you and they pick up a baseball bat or whatever, you need to have the ability to defend yourself. You know, and now as I've gotten older, you know, I'm in my 60s, you know, I realize I'm not going to be physically as strong as I was in my 20s. I may not be able to fight off an attacker, but I'm not concerned about it when I go out because I'm armed, because I have the ability to pull a Kimber or a Glock out of my pocket and do what needs to be done, Lord forbidding that ever happens, but I'll be here to defend myself and defend my family. And you're absolutely right, Austin. When these children go into these classrooms, they shouldn't have to be in fear of their lives of being shot. They should have to be in fear of their lives of having someone come in, either be another student or somebody trespassing on campus and doing what they're doing. And, you know, it's crazy now because the gun manufacturers are being sued because of what happened up in Connecticut, you know, what happened with the shooting up there a few years ago. And now they're being allowed to, the problem is, this is with Sandy Hook again, and the problem is that they don't want to allow the evidence to come in to determine whether Sandy Hook actually happened the way that we said they said it did. In other words, the gun manufacturers won't be able to dispute the Sandy Hook shooting in any way, shape, or form. No way to dispute it. They're going to just basically have the court hear the evidence that the gun manufacturers are responsible for Sandy Hook. They're not going to determine whether Sandy Hook was a real event, a staged event, or whatever. I'm not saying what it was. I'm just saying that no evidence will be heard. This is exactly what happened to the guy who got sued by one of the parents, supposedly, of the Sandy Hook shooting. He was basically not allowed to present any evidence that the birth certificate was in question, was not real, was fake, or whatever. Wasn't allowed to present the evidence because that wasn't the trial. You know, I've had friends of mine before in the media who've gotten in trouble because they've said certain things on the air. And, you know, and the reality is it doesn't matter whether the thing was real. If the statement was accurate, it was whether it was taken as slander or whatever. It doesn't make any difference how they used it and what generic term they used it on. Much of the information wasn't allowed to be taken to court. I told you this. I had it happen with a pastor friend of mine. He got sued for millions of dollars by a lady who said their child had gotten bruised in the classroom, which an infant, not an infant, but a toddler, probably 3 or 4 year old, had gone in, and apparently one of the teachers had grabbed him by the arm because he wasn't listening and put a bruise on him. Well, the teacher sued the church. The camera showed that it didn't happen. Didn't happen. The other people there working in the church were going to testify that it wasn't, that it didn't happen. None of that came to play. None of that evidence was allowed to be heard in court by the jury. All it was, you know, what's the verdict going to be and how much money do we have to give this parent from this church because this child got bruised? Not that the bruising never took place, and it was inadmissible. Now, I don't know what's happened to our court system, guys. This is why 90%, 95% of court cases now, things don't go to trial. They don't go to juries. Because, you know, they give them a plea bargain. They say, okay, well, you have a possibility of going to prison for 55 years. If you basically take it to court, we're going to go for the maximum sentencing, or we're going to give you 5 years if you just plead guilty. And that's why the majority of people just plead guilty. Whether they did it or not, it doesn't make a difference because they know that the information and the evidence will not be allowed to be put into the court of law. They won't be allowed to do it. And so they plea bargain. And this is what's so messed up about our court system. It's so messed up. And the other thing we need to have is tort reform. In other words, if two people get into a lawsuit and the one person claims that somebody else did something to them and the other person said, I didn't do that, and the other person has to defend himself regardless because of the, you know, because he's going to get an award judgment if he doesn't. Let's say then the person files a bogus lawsuit and it costs the other person $20,000 to defend himself. And that's, by the way, that's, that would be cheap. All of a sudden, the person who basically was charged is found not guilty. Nothing's given, but he's still stuck with $20,000 in legal bills. In England, they have a protocol there that if you sue somebody and you lose, you've got to pay the other person's legal fees. And that's the way it should be here in the United States. That's why these contingency attorneys come in and they take these cases and they file these lawsuits. And they, and the person who's filing the lawsuit knows that regardless of whether or not they win or they lose, it won't cost them anything. And the attorney says, we got them $300,000, we got them $200,000, we got them $1 million. And the person's going, wow, yeah, they really did get me all that money and it didn't cost me anything. If I had lost, it wouldn't have cost me anything either. That all needs to change. Those contingency lawsuits need to change like that. They shouldn't even be legal because it causes this litigious society that we live in. You know, Doug Kagman talked about a lawsuit he's involved in the other day on the show and how much money it's cost him just, you know, in legal fees. And, you know, see, and this is the thing. This is why, you know, we have to be so careful in the society that we live in. And now with this woke moment that we have that everybody is suing everybody because if you see a guy dressed like a girl, you can't say you're really a guy dressed like a girl. Oh, I'm going to sue you. Ah! And they scream and run away pulling hair. They go, oh, my God, I'm not a girl. He says I'm a guy. Ah! And they run off. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're getting served. You said he wasn't a girl. He's not a girl. He's got a penis. Well, it doesn't matter what his body part looks like. He's a girl. He wants to be a pine cone today. He can be a pine cone. You can't tell him he's not a pine cone. And this is where it's going. I mean, you're in China right now. They're unbelievably mad at our CIA because of the feminization of the men in China. I mean, the men in China back 40, 50, 60 years ago, I mean, these guys are tough dudes. And they've got the same problem that we have in the United States now. They've got the woke moment happening over there. They're saying the CIA has basically feminized China. And have infiltrated their society, infiltrated their movies, and infiltrated their culture. And they're making all these guys a bunch of sissies over in China. Well, the answer to that is, yeah, that's true. Just, that's the way it works. And you think, well, but remember who runs the CIA? The international banking communities run the CIA. And, of course, they run the MI6, and they also run the Mossad. They run everything. It's just the Rothschilds boys have their fingers on all of it. And so they run all of this stuff because they don't want macho Chinese. You know, we talked about this yesterday about John Wayne being a cultural icon of the United States. They don't want cultural icons. A few years ago, I was watching a TV show. I don't watch it anymore. I guess it's this is the one with Blake Shelton on there now. So I guess it's a singing thing, whatever it is. I forgot what it's called. And, you know, they had this one singer on, and he was unbelievable. He was like going to be the new Elvis. I mean, he was a football player. He was macho. He could sing. He could dance. I mean, I thought, whoa. And the guy had tremendous talent. He did a song, I've Got a Brand New Girlfriend. And the audience went nuts. The girls went nuts. And Blake pretty much said, you know, on the show, you know, the voice, that's the name of the show. He pretty much said on the show, I got to say, you're going to win this whole competition. And also, he didn't make the top four. I think his name was Zach Sebo. And then he made the top four. And all of a sudden, this extremely feminine guy and another gay guy basically make the top four. And the one who was like Elvis or Frank Sinatra or John Wayne or these guys that are macho who could have had a huge radio contract basically wasn't even allowed to be in the finalists. You think, what the heck happened? Well, I don't know what happened. I'm just telling you, it's weird. But, you know, same thing with like right now. You know, you've got a big thing, and I don't really talk about these pop stars very much, but, you know, you've got a big singing star right now. I wasn't going to do this story first, but I'm going to start with it real quick. Taylor Swift. She basically now has got a giant problem because she can't sing her own old songs. She wanted to do a thing, you know, I forgot the old song she had, but she's had some pretty decent songs for little girls. And it says, Taylor Swift says Scooter Braun, and Scott Borchetta are blocking her from playing her old hits at the AMAs. Well, why is that happening? Why are they not allowing her to play her old hits? Well, because she has a new image now. You know, she used to do that one song, Romeo and Juliet or whatever. And she used to have some pretty catchy little tunes she used to sing. But suddenly they've given her this new image, and they don't want her going back to her old image and playing songs that are more wholesome. They'd rather have her put the skanky stuff out. And, you know, there's another article right here, and it just says Taylor Swift calls out Scooter Braun for being manipulative and lying. It says Taylor Swift slammed Big Machine label group producer Scott Borchetta and former music label head Scooter Braun after selling Big Machine and all six of her past albums to Braun. It says Braun, this is what the article says, who is Jewish, acquired the masters in a $300 million deal with the Carlyle Group, Ithaca Holdings. Where'd the guy get $300 million? Just thought I'd mention that. Rather buying up everything, because masters are the original recordings of songs. Swift 29 also accused Braun 38 of being manipulative, bullying through his association with former client Kanye West and his wife Kim West and his wife Kim Kardashian. I'm sure this is before Kanye West probably got saved. But the whole thing about it is that, you know, all of this stuff is manipulated. You know, with what's going on with China, what's going on in the United States, and certainly what's going on in these doggone schools, Austin, that are people being shot and not understanding that they could be defended by a teacher who was armed. And who knows how many of these children have been controlled, mind controlled, or through some type of government experiment, or other people come in and do this. We don't know. Now, I want to talk about something real quick. This is important. I'm going to go esoteric for just 1 second. I've talked about this on prior shows, and I want to recapitulate this again. I want to talk about how your DNA is programmed by the words and the prayers that you use and by frequencies that you're exposed to. Now, this is going to get really interesting for some of you guys who like this stuff right now. You know, we basically know that, you know, certain frequencies can make us extremely happy, or can make us extremely sad, can make us nauseous, can make us sick, and can also give us cancer, or can stop our hearts. And so we have that ability through our words and our frequencies to change the fabric of space-time and our own reality and our own genome. We got to remember, the human genome is packed with at least 4 million gene switches that reside in bits of DNA that were once considered as junk, which is complete nonsense because the scientists didn't understand what they did. But they called them junk. But now it turns out this junk DNA basically plays critical roles in determining how cells, organs, and other tissues behave. So that's not junk. God doesn't make junk. This discovery was considered a major medical and scientific breakthrough because it had enormous implications for human health and consciousness because of the complex diseases appear to be caused by tiny changes in hundreds of gene switches. As science has delved into this junk, parts of the DNA that are not actually human genes containing structures of proteins, they discovered a complex system that controls genes, and that at least 80% of the DNA is active and needed, and another 15 to 20% basically still is being decoded. They don't understand it. The Russian scientists, they discovered all kinds of interesting things about this, and they figured out that DNA is not only responsible for the construction of the body, but also serves as a data storage and as a communication of the body. Because remember, now they know that part of our DNA is in another dimension. It's interdimensional. It's an interdimensional conduit. It's an antenna to God is what it is. The Russian linguists found that genetic code, especially in the apparently useless junk DNA, which is not useless, follows the same rules that all of our human languages follows. So listen to this. To this end, they compared the rules of syntax, the way the words are put together, to form phrases and sentences, and semantics, the study of the meaning of language words, and the basic rules of grammar, and they found that the alkalines of our DNA follow a regular grammar and do have set rules just like our languages. So human languages did not appear coincidentally, but a reflection of our inherent DNA. In other words, we had the DNA put in by God to know how to speak and have a language. How cool is that? They also looked at the vibrational behavior of DNA, and its bottom line was this: living chromosomes functions just like a holographic computer. That's that multidimensional interface again, and using other endogenous DNA laser radiation because of light photons. This means that they are managed for complete modulation that contains certain frequency patterns. What does that mean? It basically means that since the basic structure of these DNA and language are the same structure, that no DNA decoding is necessary. What does that mean? This is why when you pray, when you have spiritual affirmations, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I walk in divine health. I'm always at the right time in the right place every time. Father, thank you. My footsteps are ordered by you. When you speak those words, you speak those affirmations, and you pray like that, it has such a strong effect on you and your body. Remember, it's entirely normal and natural for our DNA to react to language because language is an energy form. It's an energy field. While Western researchers cut single genes from DNA strands and insert them elsewhere, Russians are enthusiastically working on devices that can influence the cellular metabolism through suitable modulated radio and light frequencies, thus repairing genetic effects. In other words, they're taking your DNA hitting it with the right frequency, and it cures itself. Gavarji, he's a Russian scientist, his research group succeeded in proving that this method with was important to correct chromosomal damage. And then they were actually able to take, listen to this, they took a frog embryo while it was in its forming state, and they basically transmitted DNA from another cell into it via genetics, via frequency. And they turned the frog embryo to a salamander embryo by simply transmitting the DNA information patterns. It's all energy, guys. We're made of energy. This way, the entire information was transmitted without any side effects of disharmonies encountered when cutting out and reintroducing single genes. This is the editing they do. Now, think about what the heck that means. You can turn a frog into a salamander by putting the right frequency through it, putting a salamander frequency. And when they look at a frog embryo, they can see they can see the frog embryo from an energy signature, and they can hit it with the salamander energy field, and that whole embryo changes and becomes a salamander. Now, this is some crazy stuff, guys. But what it's telling us is this, is when we're careful with the words that we speak, when we're careful with the prayers that we pray, we can influence these switches in our DNA patterns and have them turn on and activate to basically create the energy field around us that we're speaking. Now, that's very important that you understand what I just said. In other words, thank you, Father, that I always walk in divine health. Thank you, Father, that I always feel great. Thank you, Father, that my energy is always really, really high. And thank you, Lord, that I sleep through the night. All of these things that you speak and you pray become an energy pattern that directly affects your energy systems. Now, this has also been shown through the phantom DNA effect. Case in point, an energy field of a DNA sample remains undetectable by laser light even when the physical sample is removed. At a fundamental level, man is pure energy. This explains what phantom limb pain is. When you have an arm that's been amputated, or you lose it in an accident, and all of a sudden, you want to scratch your left forearm, but it doesn't exist anymore. Your left forearm is itchy. Yeah, right. But the arm's gone. It's not there anymore. That explains phantom limb pain. And we have to understand that we have all of this stuff is incorporated in us. Remember, we were created in God's image. We were created in God's image. And we've got to remember now, empty space is not really empty, but it's filled with invisible torsion energy waves for different degrees of concentration. I mean, when God spoke and said, let there be light, it was an energy wave that went through the universe. I mean, we got to understand what this means to us as human beings. I mean, guys, we aren't an accident. God made us. He made us in His image. We are the only species in the universe made in God's image. That's it. We're it. Because if God had made other species in His image, then it would have been necessary for Jesus to come and have died repeatedly over and over and over again. It didn't happen. So it happened one time. So we're the only... This is why these interdimensional entities hate us. The fallen angel DNA. These people hate us. Why? Because they want to be us. Because we're created in the Creator's image. That's who you are as a human being. That's who you are when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is an energy field, comes inside of you, rewrites your DNA, cleans you up, and makes you a new creature, born of the Spirit. People who are fleshly minded are not born of the Spirit. They cannot understand the things of God, the Bible says. You have to be born again through the Spirit, which is the energy field of the Holy Spirit that comes in and encompasses you. Guys, you need to understand who and what you are as a Christian. Okay, we are basically created in the image of God to do His will, to do His work, and to be in communication with Him and to have that relationship with Him. This morning when I was praying with you guys, I prayed for quite a while this morning. And my prayers aren't what you're going to see in church, when you have a responsive prayer reading. I have a conversation with the Almighty, and I pray and I thank Him for things and positive affirmations. And I have an ongoing dialogue with Him. I've got a friend of mine who's having some health issues. And I prayed, Lord, I need you to help this lady. I need you to do what you need to do for her and help her to get healed and feel better. And also I find out, get an email this morning or get a text this morning, and I'm feeling better. See, this is the relationship. God wants you to have a relationship with Him, not a religion with Him. He wants to be one with you through the Holy Spirit. And when He saw that it wasn't working in the timeline that had been established because He's omnipresent, He inserted Jesus Christ Himself into the timeline. He put an exact representation of Himself into Mary to be born as a Savior from a virgin. He did this for you and for me. I mean, then he had Christ suffer for the stuff that we had done and basically had him crucified and basically resurrected him from the dead to be with him for all eternity, as he will always be. As he will always be. And Christ, because of that timeline, God is omnipresent. Jesus Christ and God, they're in the beginning and they're in the end. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, the same being. I had a friend of mine one time, his name's David, he's kind of explained it to me this way. He said, it's kind of like when you have coffee, and you have black coffee, and you put creamer in it, you stir it up, and you put a little bit of, you know, honey in it. Okay? Now you've got honey, you've got, you know, you've got real half and half organic, half and half organic coffee, you swirl it all together, and now it becomes one solution. That's what God is. He's a triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all together in the same energy flux, energy field, being able to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, and we are a multidimensional interface designed specifically to interact with him on his level. That's why when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have at that point a link directly into God, to the throne room of God. See, a lot of religions believe you can't pray directly to God, that there has to be all these little goddesses and godders and whatever, what are you going to call them? Little mini-demons, I guess, your little demigods you've got to go through because you can't get to God because he's too busy handling the universe. That's not true. With Jesus Christ, he allows us, because he's part of the Godhead, to come directly into the throne room with God Almighty and speaks on our behalf, and we pray directly through him. So that's why you say, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Because it gives you the ability to enter and actually have a relationship with the creator of the universe. You think about that for a second. Think about that. I mean, this is the entity, the being, the God that we can't understand what this means, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe. He wants a personal relationship with you and with me and with your wife and your husband and your children and your relatives. Every person on this planet, he wants to be part of them and them part of him, to fulfill what he wanted to in the very beginning. That's a pretty impressive thing that God did. And then putting Jesus Christ into the mix to allow us to go through him, kind of like a step-up transformer to clean up our energy signature. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see you anymore. He sees Christ so he can be compatible with your energy field. That's what being a Christian is. And we have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what the Word says. The problem is these clowns that run the planet, that live under the rock, okay, they know what Christians are. They know who Jesus is. And they hate him for what he did. And they don't believe in who he is. They believe in all these little demigods and all these other little sick stuff that they're involved in. This is why Kabbalah is one of the root religions of all of the Satan worship and witchcraft that we have all over the planet, because of what they believe in, the weird stuff they do. And this is what we have to understand. We've got to stay focused on what God gave us and what he told us to do. Because guys, think about this for a second. If you can change the very fabric of time, space by the words that you speak, it's pretty doggone impressive. Now you think, well, I want to have a relationship with that person. I'm going to start speaking, then I'm going to have a relationship with that person. Well, maybe that person doesn't want to have a relationship with you. How about you pray, God, I want your perfect will to be done in my life. Okay? That's going to work out a whole lot better for you. Because guys, think about it for a second. The same thing I've talked about yesterday with marriages. You know, the Bible says that if the unbeliever leaves and they commit adultery or they do other things or whatever, you have to let them go. Or if somebody physically deserts you, you have to let them go. There's nothing you can do to fix all that. And I learned a long time ago, and Jim Rohn taught me this. And guys, listen to me if you're single, because I'm talking to you right now. Okay, ladies, listen to me if you're single. I'm talking to you right now. Jim Rohn taught me this. He said, opportunity will always shy away from need. If someone feels as though you're desperate, they don't want to have a relationship with you. If somebody feels as though you're needy, they don't want to have a relationship with you. If someone feels as though there could be a mutual beneficial experience with you having a relationship with one another, that's more appealing to them. But they don't want to feel as though that they're going to have to support you and take care of you and, you know, help lift you up all the time. They don't want to feel that. Nobody wants that. That's why opportunity will always shy away from need. And so when you're dealing with relationships, remember that. You know, and that's why, guys, don't get all clingy with a girl when you first start dating them. Just be cool with them. And ladies, same thing. Don't get all clingy with guys when you first start dating them. Just be cool with them. You know, I'm not talking about going out and having sex and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. Before you have sex with anybody, you should be married, number one. And number two, you should have a decent relationship with them as a friend. You should know them really, really well before you ever decide to start dating them. I mean, you know, you got to spend a few seasons with them. You know, what if you go out with a girl and you know, you're, and you want to be, and you don't want guys lusting after your girlfriend, and also you go to her Facebook page, and she's got a picture of her laying around in a bikini on the beach on her Facebook page, or sending out Snapchat photos or whatever you do with that stuff, you know, with that kind of stuff on it. Or you take her to the beach and she's flirting with all the other guys. Don't you think you need to know that before you get serious with her? Same thing with the girls. Don't you think you need to know if the guys will be flirting with all the other girls before you go out with them? How loyal is he going to be? So don't just jump into relationships before you know anybody. Give that thing at least 90 days of talking to them. At least that's the minimum, 90 days. Because I've learned something. Anybody can fake it for 30 days. You don't have to be very good to fake it for 30 days. If you're really good, you can fake it for 60 days. Nobody can fake it for 90 days. Nobody can fake it for 90 days if you spend enough time with them. Now, if you're seeing them once a week for 90 days, that doesn't really count. But if you're seeing them on a regular basis for 90 days, they can't fake it. In 99.99% of the cases, there's always going to be that one person that can fake it. But in the vast majority of the cases, they can't fake it. So get to know people before you do it. And remember, guys, be very careful with the words that you speak. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody asked me one day, Ted, you don't seem to age. And I said, no. I said, I tried that once, so I didn't like it. I decided not to participate. And they laughed at me, and I thought, you got to be – but I looked at them, I said, I'm not really joking. I don't like aging. It's awful. And I just – that's why I work out. I take my supplements. I eat clean. I work – you know, I do everything I can do. I pray all the time. Why do you do that? Because, guys, if we can create physical reality – I'm not saying we're not going to age. I'm not going to say that. But if we can create physical reality of staying healthy and having – a tremendous, how should I say this, productivity your entire life, why don't you focus on the things that are going to make you productive and healthy to start with and maintain that state of agelessness and not be dwelling on what age you are, especially now that I'm 64, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, go to my class reunion. I'm like, what the heck? Where are all these old people coming from? Guys, it doesn't have to be that way if you exercise, eat clean, and say the right prayers and speak the right things. I believe that with all of my heart. Well, anyhow, Austin, I want to cover some of that stuff today and go into a little bit more detail on the esoteric stuff that's hidden as far as how energy feels. And remember, words are create energy fields. That's why when I was at the temple years ago in Machu Picchu in Peru, up in the Andes, and I walked up into the sacrificial chamber, that big sacrificial altar there where they killed people, which they didn't want to admit to, but they finally admitted to it. They had little prayer holes on the walls. They were like residence chambers. And I was curious about that. So I stuck my head one of them and just went hum. And the hum was like 100 times louder in my head. And what they'd do, they'd create certain energy fields by the words and by the chants they would do inside of these things to create a certain state, an energy field around these people they were about to sacrifice. Kid you not. That's how. Remember when Moses was in Egypt? And he went to the Pharaoh, and he threw the staff down, and the staff turned into a snake. And the Pharaoh's magicians turned right around, and they threw their staff down, and it turned into a snake. That's the power of energy fields, and what these magicians can do, and what God can do with Moses. I mean, these magicians mimicked what he had done. See, this is what everything is. It's always a counterfeit with these guys. They take what God has done and they try to twist it. They can't create life. They can't do any of that. But they can twist energy fields. They can twist what they do. They can do all these weird spells and incantations. Now we have witches all over the planet again praying against Donald Trump. And they don't even realize it's a circus clown show. They're being manipulated also like the rest of the people that think this is some kind of great, you know, whatever happening in Washington, D.C. Guys, it's all about controlling the energy field and controlling your attention. So you can't pray how you're supposed to pray. So you can't think how you're supposed to think. So you can't see the truth and be set free. I mean, it's this giant energy field's been put around us. It's always the circus clown show because by the words, it says, by your words you shall be acquitted, by your words you be condemned. It says the power of life and death is in the words. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All the scripture is used, and they understand what this stuff does. So be very, very careful with the words that you speak and with the prayers that you pray. Austin, I just thought I want to cover some of that this day, buddy. What do you think about it? I want you next to it, buddy.
Well, that was well said. I mean, and what it comes down to is manipulation. That's what they do. They manipulate what we already have here.
Exactly.
Whether it's mind manipulation, whether it's money manipulation, it's manipulation and changing things in order to go the direction that they want to. And that's why when you see the mainstream media, as we refer to so many times, you have to be so careful when you watch it. because it's actually designed to put you in a trance. I know that sounds really bizarre, and a lot of people go, oh. If you watch it and you actually know what you're looking at and you start looking at some of this mainstream media when they talk about it, the canons, the way they speak, the way they look, the clothes, the colors, the words, the bold face as far as the letters that they have on there, the breaking news, update immediately, massive shooting, all this stuff they do, it's designed to change the energy, whether it's to put you in fear, panic, terror, whatever it is, it's manipulation. That's what you have to understand that they're continually doing right now. And the same thing with what's going on in Washington. This is going to be repetitive. The same thing they did with the Russian hoax. It was more manipulation. It was more propaganda to try to push the narrative. Because remember, if you tell a person a lie long enough, if you continually repeat it, you continually go over it, you continually over and over and over and over and over again drill it into their skull, they will eventually believe it. They've done this with psychological tests. They've done this with different type of MKUltra mind techniques. If you do it long enough, people will believe it. And that's what's coming down to the whole aspects of these shootings. If they continually tell the population that we are a weak population and we need the government to disarm us and we need them to protect us and there's nothing we can do to save our children and there's nothing we can do to protect our families, after a while, the population, at least a large percentage of them, will believe it, and they will beg to be disarmed. It's ironic that, you know, CNN came out with their article, and they said this guy basically pulled a handgun out and shot four people and himself in 16 seconds. So they said 16 seconds he was able to shoot four people, kill two other people as far as the total, and shoot himself. But then what nobody wants to discuss is incidences like we saw happen in Barcelona, Spain, I think, what, last year, year and a half ago, where two guys jumped in a van and ran over 80 people, killing another 13, just in a matter of minutes with a van. Don't want to discuss that because it doesn't fit the narrative. They have to follow along the narrative of the firearms are bad, guns are bad, self-sufficiency is bad, you need to rely on them for protection. Also, too, want to touch base on something. This is a really cool article that I was reading about earlier this week. What Dad was talking about, aging. One of the key aspects of aging and what causes aging to occur rapidly is the aspects of gut microbe in the intestinal system. We're seeing now more and more and more that the foods we're eating, especially things like Splenda, the phthalates with the plastic, the BPA, the hydrogenated oil, the MSGs, all these things are designed to disrupt the endocrine system, and they're designed to mess up the gut microbe. They've already done numerous studies, and I even have them some on the website, about sucralose, the active ingredient in the brand name Splenda. So I tell you guys, never put sucralose in your body. Splenda, never put it in your body. It actually completely removes the gut microbe. They did one study, and they found one normal dose, one FDA-approved dose of Splenda in a normal drink can reduce gut microbe up to 80%. One drink, one time, 80%. Well, researchers and an international team at Nanjing Technology University in Singapore have now found that microorganisms, such as the gut microbe living in your gut, may alter the aging process, which lead to the development of food-based treatment to slow it down. This is what they did in this research study. They said all living organisms, including human beings, coexist with a myriad of microbial species living in them and on them. Researchers conducted over the last 20 years have established their important role in nutrition, physiology, metabolism, and behavior. They used mice, the team led by Professor Steven Peterson from the NTU Lee Kong Chong School of Medicine, transplanted gut microbes from old mice, 24 years old, into young germ-free mice, 6 weeks old. After 8 weeks, the young mice had increased intestinal growth and production of the neurons in the brain known as neurogenesis. The team showed that the increased neurogenesis was due to the enrichment of the healthy gut microbe that produces specific short-chain fatty acid called butyrate. They went on further to say in here, the team also explored the effects of gut microbe transplants from old to young mice on the function of the digestive system. With age, the viability of the small intestine cells is reduced. This is associated with reduced mucus production that makes intestinal cells more vulnerable to damage and cell death and also absorption of nutrients. They found that in the younger mice, it helped to better regulate the intestinal barrier function and reduce the risk of inflammation. The team found that the mice receiving microbes from the older donors gained increase in length and width of the intestinal villi. In addition, both the small intestines and colon were longer in the old mice than the young germ-free mice. What this is all saying is here is when they increased the gut microbe, it didn't matter on the age of the mice or the aspect of the mice as far as what part they were taking from the age. When they put it in with the young mice that had healthy gut microbe and they were young and fresh, they were able to repair it and increase the function of it and actually become stronger and function better. Because it is so important you keep the gut microbe healthy. This is why we have three different probiotics based on people's budgets. This is why we have three different ones. They're that redundant. We have the 350 billion that is unbelievably effective, actually packaged at over 650 billion colony forming units. That's CFU per dosage. We also have the 100 billion, which is on sale right now for product of the week. And we also have the standard one we have, which I think is around 30 billion. It's because as you get older, these gut microbes continue to basically get lower and lower and lower. And then when you add in all these disgusting food additives and artificial sweeteners and toxins, it makes that degeneration of these gut microbes that much faster, causing aging to occur that much quicker, primarily due to inflammation and lack of nutrient absorption through the intestine. So this is why it's so important. But this research study was really, really cool. I'm going to have it posted on the website. It goes into some real technical stuff that I didn't even want to go into today. But you can read into it if you want more on the website at healthmasters.com and understanding why, A, keeping these food additives like sucralose, like glyphosate, all these toxins out of your system, and also increasing the level of very, very high dose probiotics that go into your system on a regular basis massively decreases the rate of illness and also massively decreases the rate of aging in almost everybody that I've seen use them. Energy production, digestion, all these things continue to go up when you keep the probiotic dosage in the body extremely high, especially if you can keep the toxins and food additives out of your diet as much as possible, Dad.
That's the problem with antibiotics, Austin. The antibiotics may be necessary to get rid of, you know, something that's invaded your system. Okay, sometimes they'll save your life, but they wipe out that intestinal gut bacteria, and that intestinal gut bacteria has a direct impact on your brain and on your thinking, on your moods, and on your mental clarity. All this tied together, guys. Because remember, this stuff, the gut bacteria, it doesn't communicate with your brain via a cellular system of nervous in intervention, you know, nervous and the nervous energy. It's not innervated. Okay? Let me say it that way. There's not a nerve going to the gut bacteria going back to your brain. The gut bacteria has been shown to have a connect, do a kadud. It does a. Forgive me, guys, for stuttering through this. I'm going to start over again. The gut bacteria isn't innervated through your nervous system. It has an interdimensional interface which allows it to create an energy field around your body which directly affects every cell in your system. It goes back to what I was talking about earlier. This is how it all ties together. That's why if you go on antibiotics, you absolutely need to know that there's nothing else you can do besides go on antibiotics. I know if you get like a nose infection on the inside of your nose, it happens with kids, they'll be picking their nose, they get a little nose infection. You can swab that sometimes with some liquid iodine you get at the grocery store to start with on the inside with a Q-tip, and then coat it with colloidal silver for a couple of days. And invariably, you don't have to put them on antibiotics. It works the same thing for you too. Because if you do the colloidal silver, and then also you got the Manuka honey. The Manuka honey is one of the best things you could possibly use to pack a wound. In most cases, check with your doctor first, and it could, because it has like over 200 natural antibiotics that don't do that to your gut, and what it allows your body to do is to heal itself very, very quickly. I told you the story a year and a half ago. I was up in North Carolina. I had to catch a plane. I cut my finger to the bone, packed in the Nutrafine into the honey, tightened it real tight. When I got back down here in Central Florida, I went to the hospital, to the emergency room, walked in, and it was completely closed. And they wanted to open it up and, you know, soak it and everything else. And I said, no, we're just going to leave that alone. I kept the Band-Aid on for two or three more days, took the Band-Aid off. I don't even know where it was. It's not even a scar anymore. Never had to get it stitched. The Manuka honey did that. So Manuka honey is absolutely amazing. Colloidal silver is absolutely amazing. You know, the liquid iodine, you can put that on your skin if you have to. You know, they've used that for hundreds of years. That works absolutely great. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can do without having to constantly go on antibiotic cycles. You see this with children. Got an ear infection, or got a nose infection, or got a stomach infection, whatever. They put them on antibiotics, all of a sudden they end up getting ear infections. They have their eustachian tubes get infected. Then they go on a cycle of antibiotics over and over and over and over again. Do the best you can to keep those kids off of antibiotics. It's just so important. Now, let's talk, since we're doing the health stuff real quick, let's talk about low-level vitamin D now has been linked to poor liver and kidney function and to fatty liver. So studies have found that vitamin D levels have the potential to help predict the early signs of kidney disease and fatty liver. And so it's important that you keep your vitamin D levels good, get it tested once a year, keep your levels around 50, 60, 80, whatever. Don't go any higher than that. Don't try to go maintain that level and use them all the time. Because remember, low vitamin D levels are confirmed in people with fatty liver disease, which affects about 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 people right now in the United States. So it's so important that you understand that D3, K2 are important and the probiotics are important. I personally try to take the 350 billion, gosh, there's such high dosing, every single day in my protein shake. I just rip a pack open, dump it in the shake, and drink it. You think, well, don't you think it's an overkill? Yeah, probably. But I know what they do, and I understand how important gut microbial are. Because, guys, and this is why it's so crazy when people go in and have bypass surgery down their intestinal tracts. Part of their small intestine gets taken out. Part of their colon gets taken out. And they do this voluntarily to lose weight. They lose the ability of the body to work synergistically with all that gut microbiome and also all of the nutrients that are absorbed by specific parts of the intestinal tract. When you take off, how do you know if you take out a certain section of the intestinal tract, you can still absorb vitamin B or D or E or whatever. If certain parts of the intestinal tract absorb certain nutrients, I've got friends that have had they've gotten these surgeries done years ago, and they have all kinds of health issues still. You see, we really need to understand what we're getting involved in, and if you have a problem with weight. You know, if you're going to have to do surgery, some type of bariatric surgery, you go in and have your stomach stapled. I do not recommend this. You go and have gastric banding done on the stomach, stuff that can be removed. Guys, but the whole thing about it is, it's just this. It's caloric intake versus output. And it's also the amount of high glycemic carbohydrates you eat, the things that turn to sugar too quickly. And you've got to discipline yourself to stay away from certain types of foods. Because these foods will set up a feedback mechanism. In other words, you start craving the food, which makes you eat more of that food, which makes you have more of the problem. Which the body is very weak like that, and you've got to discipline yourself. That's why I recommend that you train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from us, what the Word says. When you have little kids, teach them how to eat the right foods. Teach them how to give themselves the right portion sizes. Don't sit there and let them get obese. Please don't do that. I mean, it's your responsibility as a parent. It's your responsibility if a kid's 4, 5, or 6 years old to go in basically and not buy junk food. I mean, pediatricians are now recommending bariatric surgery for children. What the heck? Because the parents aren't capable of keeping these kids from eating too much food, or they're buying the stuff and putting it in the house. I mean, they've got to learn discipline. Remember, the word disciple is the root word of discipline. When you're a disciple of Christ, you're a disciplined person. You do what you're supposed to do, and you follow the rules according to how Jesus laid them out. You say, well, you know, these rules are hard to do. Okay, so thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. Okay, well, those are not really rules that are hard to do. There's something that you need to be taught as a child. You know, there's certain things that you need to know from a health standpoint that you need to do, and certain things you need to know from a health standpoint that you don't need to do. There are certain things you need to know from a moral standpoint that you need to do, and certain things that you know from a moral standpoint that you shouldn't do. And all of these things, guys, are so dependent upon what you teach those children when they're young. Now, also remember, take your probiotics on a regular basis. Avoid vaccines as much as you possibly can. I never do them, all right? And also avoid getting shots of unknown stuff that you don't know they're putting into your body. So important that we think through what we're doing now that they're putting nano-tracking devices in all kinds of foods and injectables. What the heck does all that mean? Well, it's easier to track you with a 5G network if they make you a read-write unit and they make you a data point. Think about that. Also, what do you think? What's your next story?
Oh, no doubt about it. There's, I mean, this is something that they have to continue. We have to continue to keep doing is getting this news out there, getting this truth out there, making people understand what these foods do to you. And also, too, there was another article that came out recently, and it was discussing the aspects of women being exposed to plastic additives and also stress during their trimester, basically their third trimester, late in pregnancy, massively increase the risk of premature birth, according to a study by Rutgers and other institutions. The study, published in the Journal of Environmental International, is the first to analyze the link between stress and plastic additives, which is basically phthalates, the group of chemicals in plastics, personal health products, and basically electronics. Premature birth. The findings are the latest in the infant development and environmental study, which tracked 783 women throughout their pregnancy between 2010 and 2012. And they went to say here, they went on discussing the dangers of these plastic additives. And this is something I want to really, really stress. And if you're pregnant, this is obviously really important. If you're not even pregnant, you just want to stay healthy, this is still really important. All these foods that have BPAs in them, all these microwave foods that are in the plastic little trays and the plastic cellophane wraps, never, under any circumstances, cook in those. Ever. You really don't even need to be eating microwave food or, you know, even food that's in that wrap. But if you do, say you see organic trays and you want to cook them in the oven or something like that, never. Take them out, pull them out of the wrap, pull them out of the little plastic tray and cook them in glass Pyrex or something similar to that. Never cook in this stuff. And also make sure you're staying away from this in personal hygiene care products. Almost all of these women's products that I see all the time, you know, facial creams, lotion, stuff like that, they always have these plastic additives, these phthalates in them. Never put this stuff in your body, and especially if you are pregnant, never use this. The researchers analyzed in the study urine samples throughout the women's pregnancies for traces of plastic additives and reviewed questionnaires they completed in their third trimester about stressful events during their pregnancies. Around 9% of the women delivered prematurely, 70% of those were spontaneous pregnancies that basically were random, and in half the cases, the children died. They linked these directly to stress and plastic additives. Now, they go on to say here that will these plastic additives still have the impact if the stress isn't involved? And they said they basically are doing more research on it because they found that the women who had the higher levels of phthalates in their urine and reported stress were giving basically the highest amount of pre-birth or early birth. And they found that because the stress increases inflammation, it made the plastic additives that much more aggressive on the body to causing damaging problems to the baby and the mother. So this is why it's so crucial when you're pregnant, you stay away from as many environmental toxins as possible. Whatever food you put in your body, you try to keep it as clean as possible. Because remember, every single thing you put in your mouth and you eat when you're pregnant, it goes to the baby. Whether or not you want to believe it or so, whether or not you hear the garbage research, the same thing with these stupid vaccines they're trying to push on pregnant women now. And I've gone into numerous research studies about the women that are having preterm births. They're having problems with cognitive functioning with the babies. And they say, oh, we don't know what happened. If you have a doctor, and I'm telling you this right now, this is my personal opinion. If you have a doctor, or if you have a, you know, basically anybody that's basically taking care of you, whatever doctor it is or nurse it is while you're pregnant, and they tell you that you have to get vaccines while you're pregnant, you need to run the opposite direction and find yourself another doctor, because they do not know how horrible the side effects are, and the research has been done now showing that there are side effects and they are linking them to vaccines during pregnancy, and there is no legitimate reason, because they even say that the vaccine more than likely does not even have an effect as far as a positive effect, the vaccine effect that they claim, on the baby when it's basically in utero. All it has is a negative effect. So be aware of that. Do your research on it. Don't succumb to the peer pressure of getting shot up with these toxic vaccines while you're pregnant. And also do your research after you're pregnant about getting your child immunizations as well. Not telling you to do them. I'm not telling you not to do them. You need to do your own research on them and figure out and read for yourself what's really going on with this stuff behind the scenes, what they're not telling you.
And also, you need to realize this too, Austin. And listeners, please listen. Tylenol in pregnancy doubles the risk of autism in these children. I mean, I can't even make this stuff up. I mean, deep statistics have shown that acetaminophen is a leading cause of acute liver failure in the U.S., and most people don't even think twice about downing the pills. Acetaminophen is also found in a wide variety of products designed to treat headache, fever, cold symptoms, as well as prescription pain medicines mixed with codeine or hydrocodone. And most households have more than, you know, one of over-the-counter products which contain Tylenol. And now it's been shown that just taking this stuff can massively increase the risks of autism in children and hyperactivity in your children. This is, what Austin was saying just a second ago. You don't put stuff in your body when you're pregnant. It's just something that you don't do. Oh, by the way, I just thought a little bit of fun here. This is from Sputnik News. It says that 98% approval rating. Trump quips that he'll be Israel's prime minister if he's impeached. While speaking at a Jewish gathering in New York, President Donald Trump not only mocked Israel's two elections over the past year, but also revealed his plan B if anything happens here. U.S. Donald Trump indulged a bit of mockery in Israel's political limbo at a Jewish event, laughingly assuming that he'll be, if he's impeached there, he'll be prime minister. Here he goes, quote, "We work hard in Israel. I think I have an approval rating of about 98% there," Trump said. Quote, "If anything happens here," he started off in a likely jab aimed at U.S. Congress efforts to impeach him, "I'm making a trip over to Israel, and I'd be prime minister there very soon," he continued, with the comments meeting a storm of applause. Just thought I'd mention that in how AIPAC seems to continually influence the elections and our government in the United States. I love you guys. It's great. I have enjoyed this show. I hope you guys have too. I love talking about thoughts and words and how they affect you. You guys rock. I prayed for you today. Oh, God, I ask for God to bless you, to keep your last face, to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you, grant you grace, peace, mercy, prosperity, and companionship. I don't know what else to do to pray for God's will for you. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters and supporting us. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys have a great weekend. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Yes, and guys, thank you again for the continued support of Health Masters. I get so many positive emails and order comments, and just thank you. And I'm glad we have the opportunity to bring the show to you completely uninterrupted with no commercials every single day because of our Health Masters store. And so thank you for supporting us. When you support Health Masters, you're also supporting our store. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. And also, check out the website. You guys asked for it. I get a lot of requests on this product because it's so good for energy, weight training, blood flow, high blood pressure, everything. The HGH Stimulates on sale right now. It's got a huge brand new batch of it in. I put it on sale for 20% off right now, which is cheaper than a can 3-pack special. So be sure to check it out. I know a lot of people love that product. I use it every single day when I train. Really increases vascularity and pumps in the gym. Really increases stamina too for people that are basically working real hard out in the yard, basically running around, running, jogging, whatever you want to do. Very, very great product for that. So be sure to check it out on the website, healthmasters.com, on sale for a limited time, 20% off, HGH Stimulate. Have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. I'm going to be on Hagman tonight, so you guys enjoy that show as well. Have an awesome time, and we'll talk to you again on this show Monday, as always.